Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
It's 19 minutes to 6. It is time for the Israel report. Bringing it to us today is Yanky Farber, an Israeli journalist. As per usual, there is so much happening in Israel. What was current 2 hours ago isn't necessarily current anymore. Yanky, good afternoon. Thanks for being with me.
Hi, good afternoon. Good evening for us. Good afternoon for you.
Same time. We're on the same line. Yanky, I've got the Times of Israel open in front of me and a very big first major headline saying Israel would lose all its support from the U.S. if it annexes the West Bank, warns President Trump. How did we get to this headline? What's the backstory?
So basically, there is one Knesset member. His name is Avi Maoz. He's like from the party, he's extreme right wing. And he's, when you meet him, he's a very nice guy. But when it comes to politics, sometimes people lose, they just want to get some headlines and attention. The law he passed was, he went through 25-24 by the opposition's finger, not the coalition. One guy from the coalition, from the Likud party, from the prime minister's party, supported this law, but the majority of the coalition did not vote for it because nobody wanted to put a finger in the eye of the American, and especially when a vice president was in Israel. The law went through by one vote, but 25-24 when you have in the Knesset 120 people. So it wasn't really a big thing. It was just not a nice behave of the people who voted, to put a finger in the eye of the Americans. And the prime minister has said just before that the law will never pass. And obviously, if Israel wants the law to pass, they must have the support of the Likud party, the biggest party in Israel. And Likud will never vote for it because they will never go against to the prime minister, against the United States. So he's just a political...
He's playing games to his own political electorate. That's all he's doing. At a huge cost to Israel.
Yes, and it was not respected, and everybody's talking against it. Even the people who support this guy, Maoz, who put the law, and even the people who support the rest of the people who voted for this law, everybody is very, very upset, and everybody said that it's a disgusting behavior. Nobody should have done it, and I was actually surprised, but the law went through, okay, but it needs to go again. People need to vote for it again and again. Like, it needs to go twice to the Knesset, and it will not come to the Knesset again. But it's a big, as we say on Yiddish, when you say, it's a big chilul Hashem.
A big chilul Hashem. It's also a public relations disaster. I mean, Israel did not need this now. You are so isolated in the world right now. Exactly. To upset your only friend, your best friend, by poking your finger in the eye just seems so counterproductive. I don't understand.
Nothing really happened from this voting, but it's just making a bad name for Israel, and all the headlines you open, Washington Post and New York Times, it's like really disgusting behavior for United States, who supports Israel like crazy since Donald Trump went in power. And I hope this is the last time somebody's doing such a thing.
It's very interesting to me that a single member of the Knesset has the power to bring such a proposal to the Knesset for voting when, you know, you would think there are people who are having to give authority or approval before you do that. I would have thought Netanyahu would have said, don't you dare. Alta is.
But that's the thing. That's democracy. You cannot... Listen, we don't want to be like a non... democracy country. We do want the people in the Knesset to vote and to try to pass any law they want. But this has to do with also with a little bit of common sense and you know, use your mind before you do something stupid like this.
Well, here's another stupid thing for you. I've just scrolled down the Times of Israel. I don't know. This is probably brand new as well. Smotrich on Saudi normalization. No, thank you. Keep riding camels.
He already apologized. I don't know if you saw. No. It was an interview, and the word came out very, very badly wrong. Like, he made fun of the Saudi Arabia. He said, go ride on camels and don't tell us about a Palestinian state. And let me tell you, before 7th of October, you definitely remember that the leader of Saudi Arabia, I mean, the son of the leader, Ben Salman, said on Fox News, we are going on normalization with Israel. But Hamas, of course, blew everything up because they didn't want to. So Saudi Arabia is not an enemy of Israel. Saudi Arabia is afraid of Iran just as much Israel is afraid of Iran and some other countries around the Gulf region and in the Middle East. It was a big mistake. He apologized. He said, I'm sorry for saying it. I shouldn't have said it. I'm taking my words back. But, you know, Smotrich has a lot of experience. He's in the Knesset. He's like in the politics for I don't know for how long. And I was surprised. Listen, I wasn't surprised when Avi Maoz did what he did to the law. But Smotrich was a surprise because he's very clever and he made a big mistake and he apologized very quickly. And again, as you said, if you keep scrolling Times of Israel, you'll see a lot of the mistakes or not mistakes that Israel, that people do in the Knesset. It's complicated. And the problem is that me and you know that it's not a big thing, but when the world looks at it, and especially the Arab world who do support Israel, like, you know, UAE and Bahrain, and even some other Arab countries, you know, under the table, they support Israel. When they see that a minister of finance is making fun of a big country like Saudi Arabia, it really upsets them. And it pushed them back and said, why should I speak to the Israelis if this is the reaction we get?
Let's move on to another issue of great interest, that of the Haredi exemption law. Lots going on in Israel about this issue. Talk to this, if you would.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can talk to you about it probably like for a week nonstop.
No, we've got 7 minutes.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm saying it's so much behind it. It's like impossible to explain it. And I every week or 2 weeks, I meet diplomats. They come to ask me about it because they lose control over the news that comes out. So basically, till 7th of October 2023, Israel didn't really do much. I mean, every government since Israel was established, you know, 1948, Israel, all the governments, no matter right, left, they didn't really do much to get the Haredim to the IDF because obviously, at first, they didn't need. There wasn't so many Haredim at the time, like, you know, 50 years ago. And also, when the Haredim, they come to the IDF, the IDF needs to make a lot of changes. No female soldiers, all the food must be kosher, and the whole way of training must be not on the Saturday. There isn't any training in the IDF on Saturday officially, but there's a lot of things to do, a lot of money to put into it. So the IDF didn't really do much because there wasn't any need. Now, after the war started, the IDF realized they made a big mistake and they need a lot of soldiers. So last year, 3,000 Haredim joined the IDF. It's big numbers. Even it's not big compared to what the Haredim were, like 1.2 million. But 3,000 soldiers, most of them were fighters. Most of them, a lot of them were in Gaza, Syria, Lebanon, they really fight it. And unfortunately, quite a few were killed. So people thought in Israel, oh, the Haredim are getting close. They understand the situation. I always said in the beginning, and I'm still saying, that the Haredim will never join the IDF in big numbers. The people who join the IDF or people who do it by themselves. The community, the Haredi community in Israel are against the IDF, not as something because they don't like the IDF. They just worried that the boys will not come back religious from the IDF. What I think it's I think it's wrong. They will come back early. Just the IDF is giving opportunity, and as all everything that an Orthodox soldier needs to stay Orthodox. And I was in an Orthodox unit, Kul Netzach Yehuda, years ago, and I did reserve in an Orthodox unit. There wasn't any problem, not to his Shabbat, not to his food, not to his female soldiers. We got everything we wanted. But you have to understand, the Haredi community are very, very afraid they're going to lose control over the young generation. If the rabbis will say, if you're not in yeshiva, you can join the IDF. You know what's going to happen? Half of the boys will join the IDF. Then you lose the power over the community. And they will not be able to control the community. And that's why they never, ever give permission to join the IDF. Many do join the IDF.
But there's a consensus in mainstream Israel that they're going to have to. Or they're going to have to do something. If it's Shirut Leumi, it can't be that everybody, secular Israelis, the national religious Israelis, are picking up the burden and the losses, and the Haredim are doing nothing. So what have they done? They've agreed they're going to pass some sort of law requiring something. What, Shas is threatening to leave their cabinet posts? It's getting very complex.
Let me tell you what my... that's my opinion, and I keep saying it on the Israeli media for the last 2 years. Mm. And only in the last few months, they started realizing that maybe I'm right. The Haredim will never vote for a law that even one Haredi needs to join the IDF. They want the secular community or the people from the Tzionut HaDatit, you know, the people who vote for Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, they should vote, because you need to understand, no rabbi will ever give permission, no Haredi Knesset member will ever vote for it, because then it's actually giving permission to join the IDF. Then you lose control over the community. What you see now is games. They'll never vote for it, because in
so
the
what's,
first year
what's,
by
what's
law,
the solution?
The Haredim needs to send 4,800 soldiers. I don't see it happening. They will never vote for it. They're playing around. They're pulling another week, another week, another week. They've been doing it for the last 2 years, and they want to do it.
Looks like we've got technological issues. We've frozen. We've got an issue here, but never mind. I tell you what, we are going to leave it there for this afternoon. Yanky Faber, if you can hear me, you're frozen on my side. Thank you for your input today. Really do appreciate that. I don't know why this has happened. It's unfortunate, but this is an issue that I think is going to keep the Israeli body politic very busy for a very, very, very long time. Right now, though, it is 6:08. I would have loved to have got to the SMS line, but I'll do that after this.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.